This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the Q's Symposium here on the lovely island of Maui.
Woo!
Aloha!
Look at you guys. Aloha. Welcome, welcome. We are here in the studio lounge with two fine folks in the creating industry, Didi Myers and DDJ Myers. Didi, how are you?
Mahalo. Awesome.
Exactly. How can you not be here? And then Peter Myers as well from DDJ Myers. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having us. Thanks for allowing us to be a part of the studio lounge.
Thank you for having me.
That.
Yeah. Right there.
That's good. Here we go. It looks good, doesn't it?
It does. Darn good look. So, hey, I'm asking everybody first question. How's the conference going? Even though it's just kind of starting out, how is it going so far? Or any expectations that you guys have as well? Or Dee?
Yeah, well, our expectation always is to be of service, and it's going great, Mike. Great opening reception last night. One of the things I noticed is people were not sitting down and parked all night. People were getting up and being interactive with each other, meeting new friends, networking. That's a great start. And, of course, full moon in the sky.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I got a moon set shot this morning as the moon was coming down.
Really nice.
It was really cool. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So the conference is great because, you know, it officially started last night, right? And it officially ends on Thursday.
Right.
But the more that we keep coming, the conference kind of starts a few days early because people are here for the networking, for the conversations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hearing more and more, I think we need to get here a few days earlier.
I heard people were here on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're having conversations. And so I'm leaving on Saturday night, and I know that the conversations will continue beyond Thursday.
Yeah.
It's just going to show the value of networking and being in dialogue. Last night you were saying the reception was that way, and they structured that to stimulate the right conversation, right? And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. All right, we were talking about this before the recording, just an interesting dynamic that's going on in the labor market right now. We have unemployment at record lows. We have fintech layoffs or even other layoffs in other industries as well. But yet it's still very hard to find that top tier talent. And you know the credit union industry is not immune to that. So I want to, since you guys are live this day on a daily basis, Didi, I wanted to get your take on it as well as yours, Peter, on what's going on out there and how credit unions can, I don't know, how they can take advantage of it. Or because I've seen a lot of stories, hey, credit unions, now's the time to go get those fintech people because they're getting laid off, bringing some of that talent to your shop. So
absolutely.
What are you seeing out there, Didi? I'm just curious because you guys are always on top of this.
Yeah, lots of opportunity. I'm seeing that CEOs and even board members and executive teams are actually, Mike, opening up their peripheral vision to go like, what could we be doing differently here? And looking, working on some projects, real exciting, where people are looking ahead, what do I need in 3 to 5 years? What can I be doing now to build that talent bench strength? What kind of recruiting do I need to be doing? Do I need to reorganize my roles so they're taking advantage of the fintech, what we need to be doing, and looking ahead and aligning roles so they meet with our strategy and our strategic growth projections?
Yeah.
What do you think, Peter?
Really interesting time.
I don't know how much time we have here, so sit back, okay? Sit back and relax.
It's going to be a whole side
version.
What's good about, I think, the credit union industry is no matter what is happening out in the market, the landscape, the core business continues, right? So you mentioned some headlines. I'm going to call them headlines, right? 50-year record low unemployment, right? And somehow that's a bad thing. Right, in some perspective.
Interesting. Yeah, it is.
You know, but it's not, right? At its core, it's a good thing, right? And then there's the layoffs that are announced, right? And those are headlines. But the fundamentals of our business model in the industry are extremely strong. So how do we capitalize on them? I think that's kind of how I think about it.
Yeah.
How do we capture talent and bring them in? I'm going to think about it like this, that we have something so special. How can we tie into people's professional aspirations, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about org design and structuring our organization for the future, historically CEOs will go, well, Mike's great at this, Didi's good at this, so let me put you in this role, and oh, by the way, I'm going to put you in this role, right? And then people would say, Yeah, that sounds good, right? When we look at org design, the next layer, we say, hey, okay, if you've done that before, let's talk differently. What's the strategic opportunity? How well can you actually articulate that for the organization? And if you ask, you know, 150 CEOs here, what's the strategic opportunity? Can you articulate that? Well, I bet everyone would say they can, but after a few questions, they wouldn't be able to articulate it as well as they think they could. And that's where the talent conversation then comes in, because then, Mike, what are your professional aspirations? What's important to you? Where are you trying to go? Because actually, that's the sweet spot. That's where we want. What is important to you? What is the strategic opportunity, and what's the potential I see from you? If we can have that overlay and articulate those conversations, that's an easy way to sell people to join our industry or even inside the organization, develop from within. This is how I spend a lot of my time. How are you trying to go? Where are you trying to go? And will you push? Will you work harder for that? And people go, it's in that sweet spot? Absolutely.
People will do the hard work.
They'll do the hard work.
So,
I want to say hard. It's like hard, meaningful work, right? And that's what engagement. That's where people stick with credit unions or stick with employers. It's meaningful work, right?
So is that the message that credit unions should be getting out there to attract this top talent? Is there kind of their mission, that, which goes way deeper than the transaction? Is always what I say. This goes way deeper than the transaction because they're mission-oriented views or their vision. They're part of the community. They're part of the culture. So is that what they should be at? Is that what the talent is looking for?
I've been in this business for a long time, and it's always people helping people. And then sometimes I would wonder over the years, Michael, are we really doing that? And now I believe we are.
Okay.
Or if we're not, we need to.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. But putting some substance to it. So how do we really help people? And what are those stories that we could put into the recruitment dialogue and the recruitment narrative? We need to get that out there. So, because the younger generation will go out and look at social media, what are they doing in terms of social responsibility, diversity, do they have women in executive roles, do they have people of color, and then they choose who they're going to interview with. They're very strategic and meaningful about it. So I think it's the time for us to really live our mission and put that substance behind it.
How do you attract somebody who just got laid off from Google? Mm. Or how do you attract somebody who just got laid off from SoFi? You know, a lot of these fintechs out there, obviously, we talked about it at the top of the show, are getting... But how do you attract those people to bring them into a credit union?
The stability of our system. I mean, are RIFs done in credit unions, reductions in forces? How often are they done? Very rarely. Very, very rarely. Someone that just got laid off, do you want a stable, great place to work?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like, it's feeding
candy
to a baby.
Yeah, maximize your skill set, your competencies. Yeah. Absolutely.
Actually, just yesterday I heard from someone. They hired someone from the fintech industry. The banking technology worker, now inside of a credit union. Like, gosh, this really is different. The culture is different here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the branding says so.
Yeah.
But how do we get that? I think we also have our staff do the recruitment for us too, right? Go out there and say how great it is where you work. I work at XYZ Credit Union. It's a great place to work. There's all kinds of opportunity. They care about you as a person. I just heard that last week where I was with a client. We're in a professional development conversation, and they're like, wow, I've only been here a year. You really do care.
Yeah.
Telling the CEO, you really do care about me and where I'm trying to go. And that's so foreign. Right? So there's a lot of opportunity.
Well, and before the recording, you talked, Didi, about cranes need to walk their talk.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We have this deep social mission. We're committed to the community, but like when you go to the social media page,
there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
Right. So what we're seeing too is I'm really excited because we have a great team on our recruitment search side, but they do a lot of research, and so they're sharing, and we're doing workshops, Mike, on how bias can be built into artificial intelligence machines. How can we minimize bias in resume building, even in our names? There's people are actually changing their names, or at least their first initial or their first name, so they get more hits because there's some automatic bias that's built in, from what I understand.
Yeah,
so we're hearing a lot of that. So the candidates are looking like, what are the potential biases out there, and how can I as a candidate manage my own search so I'm not caught in that web? The other thing we're seeing is,
which is just real quick, more work that minorities have to do in order to have a level kind of opportunity.
Yeah. So we're also, we used to do this a long time ago, now we're kind of back in there, and sometimes is working with our boards on CEO searches, you really care about diversity, so how about we take off names? How about we take off where they're working now, and it is totally blind? And their whole packet, just so they're not making some automatic judgments. You know, it's just, we call it epoche, suspending judgment. You know, so that's another way of looking at it. The other thing we're working with our teams is, who are interviewing from a credit union perspective, is how do they get trained up to interview? Are they giving the same message, right? Or are they contradicting each other?
Yeah.
So there's a piece of work around that as well. It's very exciting.
Goodness, so many moving parts to this thing, but to get that top tier talent and to keep them, gain and retain.
Well,
the name of the game here.
Yeah, so what I say here, let's see if I can articulate this. When somebody goes out and hires somebody, a third party, to help interview, find and interview the candidate, set them up for retention, we really need to have a search consultant that will look at all those pieces versus just a recruiter that'll slam resumes in front of you. You need somebody to help you facilitate that process. So I'm seeing more credit unions, back to the beginning here, more credit unions actually interested in that work. Let's do it right, and let's get the right people and keep them.
A strategic and defendable approach, right?
Yeah.
Strategic and defendable. Hey, we did the right thing. We went about it the right way. And the right reasons, which is different than some boards going, well, we had the right intent and we didn't have the right process, right? Well, the impact is maybe a subpar outcome.
Have the right practice, right action. Oh my goodness. So what are the conversations, that's a great example. What are some of the other conversations you're having with credit unions out there right now? What are they experiencing?
Yeah, so
what are you guys hearing?
Well, yeah, so diversity, let me just put this in, succession planning, diversity development in the board too, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Boards that have, in their estimation, great diversity already, they really are protective of it. They want to keep that. They want to make sure, because they work so hard to get it, or because they are, excuse the word, but a minority inside of the representation of maybe even other boards, right? They want that, and they want to keep that. It's hard to, it stands for something. And some CEOs, high-performing CEOs go, I want that. Diversity in all these kinds of perspectives.
Yeah.
They like that, too.
Yeah,
we're also working with, especially, women CEOs for the first time they've been a CEO, is what's an employment agreement? Why do I need one? You know, and some boards are still a little old school, might go, well, we do want a contract and we don't want an employment agreement. You know, it's just very selfish for the CEO to want that.
She's loyal, she won't leave.
Yeah, and I'm
quote unquote, I heard that this last year. Yeah.
So I said, really? It's not really about the CEO. It is, but it's about the board, it's about the organization, and it sets up standards for accountability on both sides, and it protects both. So working a lot there, and really so many new women CEOs this year, I'm very excited about that, absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have a few in here during the conference
I love it, absolutely. And then, you know, pay for performance, how that's set up, helping negotiate, especially for the first-time women CEO. What's the threshold? Where do you start? And what's going on there? So I'm excited. A lot of opportunity.
No doubt. And to give you guys a plug, this is what you guys do. I mean, you guys cover all the bases out there.
So. All about people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And getting the right people in the right spot at the right time.
Make sure they're paid well, they're protected, make sure they know what their accountability is, their performance standards, helping the board figure that out for the CEO. A lot around how to get the right people to make sure everybody's doing what they need to be doing and loving it.
Right. And many times the board is not an expert. The board collectively is not an expert in this area. Where people like you come in and go, hey, you know what? Let's put some sound practices in place.
Oh, absolutely.
Professionals have coaches. Professionals know when they need help.
Yeah.
Right? Amateurs do not. Right? That's kind of the tagline,
right?
Right.
All right. variety. Anything else on the docket?
I'm sure there's a lot.
I know. We could be here for easily 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of knowledge on these two chairs. A lot of knowledge
here. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You're so welcome. Yeah. I love having... I mean, I get smarter talking to you guys, so I'm very selfish in that area, so I appreciate it. Yeah, anything else to add, guys?
That's it. Thanks for watching.
All right. Well, hey, all right.
Take care of those kids, and send me pictures of the Aladdin.
Oh, yes, we will. Yes, we will. All right, guys, there they are, the dynamic duo from DDJ Myers. Go check them out.
Thank you.
Fantastic stuff for Creighton's out there. Well done.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.